something happens when I connect with you. Power flows, healing flows, goodness flows in ways that don't if I'm shut off in isolation and disconnection, as so many people are, especially in this holiday season. What is reactivity? What does it mean to be reactive?
When you're talking, I'm getting triggered inside of me. What I think, what I feel, what I want to say, what I don't like about what you're saying. That kind of reactivity is part of how we humans are, but it gets in the way, John.
What is it about thoughts and feelings in particular that helps that process of knowing and being known deepen?
Ideally, for a strong connection, it's regularly engaging, because what you think and feel today might be very different than what you think and feel tomorrow. If I'm going to know you, I want to know what you think, especially even maybe in ways that you think differently than me.
I think a lot about how in Scripture, that word to know is much more interactive and personal. We'll often talk about knowing as knowing about, knowing facts, but it's much more engaging, and this exercise feels like it would foster that. Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. We're on a journey together at Become New in this Advent season through the Gospel of Luke, and that's the core thought. We're looking at being connected and the remarkable truth that you have the capacity to be connected with the God of the universe. And the good news of this season, above all, is what Dallas Willard used to talk about as the Emmanuel principle, God with us. God wants us to do life with him, being aware of him, talking with him, being connected with him, receiving guidance and comfort and wisdom and love. And then this connection capacity that we have is also something that we're able to use within ourselves, for me to be connected to my deepest emotions and my deepest thoughts, my very soul. And then it also means we're able to be connected with each other. And something happens when I connect with you. Power flows, healing flows, goodness flows in ways that don't if I'm shut off in isolation and disconnection, as so many people are, especially in this holiday season. But today, we got to bring in the heavy artillery. We've been walking through the first couple of chapters of the Gospel of Luke to look at this notion of being connected. And I'm actually going to pause that journey just this once to bring in my pal, Dr. Rick. Rick Blackman, his whole specialty, his whole expertise is looking with people at what does the connected life look like? How do we get connected or disconnected with other people and with ourselves and with God? And so I asked Rick if he would walk through that a bit for us at Become New, and he said yes. And he's actually got some thoughts on connection, and I don't know what they are. We decided it would be more fun to just plunge into it if I was cold from the beginning. So, Rick, take it away.
All right, John. Well, I'm loving this series. And the thought I had when you asked me about doing something together was I was thinking about, over the years as a counselor, one of the practices that I have encouraged people to adopt if they want to work on connecting more deeply. And so I thought I would share that. It's a pretty easy thing to explain. It's a way that people in the training, not trying idea of getting better at connecting with each other, with God, with yourself. I'm just going to offer an idea here. And it's really basically around the idea that in close connection, there's high quality knowing and being known. And that I can know you, John, if I'm engaging in some fashion with what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And it's reciprocal, it goes both ways if you're also engaging in what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. So bear with me, it's gonna take me a couple minutes to unpack it, but I call it the 15-5. It's just a very simple idea. So it goes like this, and you can do this with your spouse, you can do it with a friend. It's a way to practice getting better at deeper connection. So it goes like this. So if it's you and I, John, I would set aside 20 minutes and without other distractions, for the first 15 minutes, I'll have you start for no particular reason. I would have you, your assignment is to share with me for 15 minutes what you're thinking and what you're feeling. It's as simple as that. You don't have to go into, you know, it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be detailed. It doesn't have to be about your past. It can just be whatever you're thinking and feeling. And my job on the other side is I'm not going to say a word. So in a way, it's more monological. You're going to talk. I'm going to listen. You've got the microphone. I'm in the audience. And you're talking. And I've got a paper and pen. So I'm taking some notes. And then you just share. And the trick about this, by the way, is when you're talking, depending on how close we are, the closer you are, the more possible reactions you'll have. So if I do this with my spouse, I'll probably have more reactions than I would have while she's talking than if you're talking, John. But then if I know a person less well, because you and I know each other very well, then I might even have less reactions. But I always think the trick to high quality connection is reactivity, is if I get too reactive to what you're sharing, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, that will put a number on the quality of how we're connecting. So in my mind, if my wife, for example, is talking, I could respond or react in six possible ways. I've just figured this out over the years. I can like what she's saying. I can dislike what she's saying. I can agree with what she's saying. I can disagree with what she's saying. I can remember what she's sharing about in the same way she remembers it, or I can remember it in a different way. So you think about, to me, that's part of the art of good listening, is how do I put those possible six reactions on the shelf and take in.
Rick, say those six one more time, because I'm already struggling to remember what you just said.
There you go. So I can like what you're saying. I can dislike what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. I can disagree. I can remember what you're saying in a similar way, or I can remember it differently if you're talking about some shared thing that we've gone through together. And that's what's hard, is how do I manage that reactivity in such a way that you really feel listened to? Because when you're talking, my hope is that you're having an experience of being known. And I'm, as a listener, having an experience of knowing you. So that whole knowing and being known business is, we're working on it. And this is just a strategic way to do that. Part of the way that I can manage that reactivity is if when you're talking, John, or my wife is talking, I take notes. And I don't take notes about my reactions. I take notes on, what is John saying now? He's talking about his marriage. He's talking about a speaking engagement that he's got coming up. He's talking about politics now and what he thinks about the government right now, or whatever it is. And I'm taking notes about the highlights. So, but I'm also showing good nonverbals, like I look interested in what you're saying. So at the end of 15 minutes, so you get to talk 15 minutes, whatever you want to talk about. I'm taking notes. At the end of 15 minutes, one other assignment for you as the talker, use I messages. Don't tell me too many things about me. If it's a couple, don't say too many things to your spouse about your spouse. Try to talk about yourself. That's what therapists think. I messages are much more powerful than you messages. And then at the end of 15 minutes, usually I'll have couples just set a timer on a phone. After the end of 15 minutes, the listener, the person in the audience, says, if it's your spouse, I usually have them say, honey, the time is up. And, you know, I might say to you, John, the time is up. And then I would read back my notes. And you listen to the read back just for accuracy. Did I get what you were saying, what you were thinking, and what you were feeling? And then, in order to not dilute the experience, you make a commitment that you're not going to continue the conversation about any of the things that you talked about for those 15 minutes. And then if you're working on a mutual relationship where it's going both ways, then you switch the roles. And a couple days later, now I'm talking. I'm going to share for 15 minutes. I'm going to have the microphone. I'm going to use iMessages. And you're going to listen. You're going to be in the audience. And you're going to take notes on the key themes to what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And then at the end of 15 minutes, you're going to read back the notes. And if I want to respond a couple days later in my 15-minute time to what you said a couple days before, I'm allowed to do that. But again, try to do that in an iMessage. Hey, John, when you were talking a couple days ago, here's some thoughts that I had about that, or here's an emotional reaction that I have to that. But I'm doing it in the form of an iMessage. And it tends to work better, honestly, if I wait like that to respond than if I responded just in the moment. And so I will have couples. I've been doing this as a couples therapist, John, for probably 30 years using various forms of this. I've kind of narrowed it down to what I'm describing right now. And sometimes they'll do this once a week, two different days, for a whole year, because they're working on the depth, the level of their connection with one another. And I'd just gotten such good dividends as a counselor to this simple little exercise. People are always coming in. That's why I like your series so much, with the stated wish, the stated goal that they want to connect more deeply. They want to connect more often. They want to connect with higher quality. And a little, you know, bell will go off in my mind. Well, I know a series of practices that you could try. And sometimes we'll have to kind of work on it a little bit, maybe make little refinements. But that's kind of what I wanted to share with Become New Community, is like that would be a thing you could do if you're really serious about training yourself to connect more deeply.
I'm having lots of thoughts as you talk about this, Rick. I'll just pause to everybody. And I will say, I will do this. I have never done this before. I don't think I've heard about this particular kind of exercise before, but I will do it. So it sounds like, in thinking about connection, then the essence of connection, or at least a real deep part of it, is knowing and being known.
Yes.
That reminds me very much of Eleanor Stump, for anybody listening to us that has followed some of what she has written or that we have talked about, that love involves willing the good, but also really the desire for union, which is to know and to be known. What is it about thoughts and feelings in particular that helps that process of knowing and being known deepen?
They just are the best differentiation of what is the detail that is displayed and taking place when I know you. If I know, and again, it ideally for a strong connection, it's regularly engaging, because what you think and feel today might be very different than what you think and feel tomorrow. So I don't feel like I have a bead on everything that you think and feel just because of what you shared the last 15 minutes today. And so doing that more often and engaging. And again, if it's too heady, if it's just thoughts, and yet we are a big part of our, you know, our thoughts. That's a big part of who we are. So if I'm gonna know you, I want to know what you think, especially even maybe in ways that you think differently than me. I want to know how you feel.
Let me ask about this particular exercise. I'm thinking, if I were to say to Nancy, my wife, dear, I'm going to talk for a while and I want you to take notes, she would throw up in her mouth a little bit. So, but I've never taken notes when she's been talking before. Say a word about why is it important in this particular exercise to just be quiet and not do interactive conversation for 15 minutes? And what is it about note-taking that's powerful?
And of course, the goal is dialogical. The goal is ultimately back and forth. But two things. It concentrates you on what the other person is saying if you're taking notes. And I'm able to manage my reactivity better. You know, the honest truth is, you might not have to take notes with somebody you don't know as well. Like, I think I'm a therapist. If I listen to somebody in my office talk for 15 minutes, I could repeat back everything that they said. I know how to do that. I know how to listen like that. But honestly, it's because I'm not having so many of those six reactions to a client. If so, it's when somebody...
When you talk about managing reactivity, that's just what I was going to ask you. What is reactivity? What does it mean to be reactive? And what does it mean to manage that well?
It means that when you're talking, I'm getting triggered inside of me with what I think, what I feel, what I want to say, what I don't like about what you're saying, how I think you're wrong, how I think you're right. That kind of reactivity is part of how we humans are, but it gets in the way, John. It just gets in the way of deep connection. So figuring out ways to calm that reactivity, to calm down that sort of flooding, I think of that, or that trigger ability. I'm always interested when I'm working with families or couples or deep relationships. Like, I'm always interested in this piece. Can I get the storm going on inside of me to calm down some in order to more deeply take in what the other person is thinking and what they're feeling?
You know, I think a lot about how in scripture, that word to know in Old Testament and New Testament, is much more interactive and personal. We'll often talk about knowing as knowing about, knowing facts, but it's much more engaging. And this exercise feels like it would foster that. How about, as we think about connecting with God, is this applicable in any way to people's experience with God?
You know, a bunch of more serious, spiritually minded people over the years have tried to do this same kind of exercise in their relationship with God. And what they report back, and I would say I've had some of the same experiences, if you spend time just trying to listen. And by the way, when the talker is talking, if suddenly they run out of things to say, you still keep listening and let the silence be on the part of the other person. Don't own the silence. Let the speaker own the silences. So I think it's a pretty good way to try to tune into what God might be thinking and feeling and saying to you. And then, of course, praying to God is a way to just imagine that God is listening and taking notes.
I love that picture.
I've never thought of that line until just now, that God might be listening that deeply and that intently to what I'm telling him I'm thinking and feeling.
Wow.
And be taking notes.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a wonderful gift. Rick, I'm so glad we did this. I'm glad we didn't talk about it ahead of time. I will carry this away. I will try this, and I'm kind of eager to and looking forward to it. Those six categories, like, don't like, agree, disagree, remember similarly or remember differently. Very, very helpful. And thinking about reactivity in that way. That's just a gold mine. Thank you. For everybody who's listening, just know Jesus came so that you could be connected to God and that we could be connected with each other. That's a deep part of peace on earth, I think, and connected with ourselves. So this is your day. Go to it. Rejoice. The Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.